This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Top Studio Boomer Size and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. The New York Knicks win again. In improbable fashion, have a 2-0 lead on the Boston Celtics. And what we saw last night, so improbable, so unlikely, so crazy. I didn't think that we would ever see a game like we saw in game one where the Knicks are down 20 and then come back and we've got these unbelievable defensive plays at the end of the game. It was a carbon copy of game one. I didn't think that was possible. As the Knicks fight back, they look like they're dead. The Boston Celtics go completely cold. The Knicks make the best plays, the necessary plays at the end of the game, and they have the most unlikely, crazy 2-0 lead I think I've ever seen in a playoff series with one of my teams in my lifetime. This is nuts. Now they got to finish it off. They're coming back to the Garden on Saturday. Of all the outcomes that I expected in this series, what we've seen so far would have been at the bottom of the list. Amazing stuff last night. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm like, wait, what just happened? I mean, I can't believe that this game unfolded the way it did. And honestly, for those people who do love and eat, sleep, and drink the NBA, they see a lot of this. These comebacks are amazing. The first time in consecutive games in playoff history that a team has come back from 20 points down to win a game. And I'm just thinking to myself, first of all, Mikal Bridges was playing defense like his ass off the whole game, and then all of a sudden turns it on offensively in the fourth quarter, which is amazing. So it goes to show you, it's not how you start, because I think they only had 13 points in the first quarter. It's how you finish, and they finished with a flurry in the fourth quarter, and Mikal Bridges was the impetus to that on offense and defense. But there were a couple things that happened in this game that were just amazing as they started to unfold, because everybody wanted Cat do more. We need to get him more involved. And he was a dominating force in the first half of this game, and they got him the ball, and it was great. As you said, it was great that the Boston Celtics went cold again, 25% from 3-point. It's insane that this is one of the best three-point shooting teams, and they're shooting this poorly in these first two games, which is great, and hopefully it continues at Madison Square Garden. But you think about a couple things that happened here. Mikal Bridges went off for 14 points in the fourth quarter. Karl Anthony Towns has a really key tip-in and a foul for a three-point play. And then from that point on, Brunson takes over, and he scores six straight points for the Knicks, and the final 6 points for the Knicks. And then, of course, Mikal Bridges makes the steal, or the great block and steal at the end of the game. This really reminded me of the 93-94 Knicks playoff run. And the reason I say that is because that year the Knicks played 25 playoff games. They swept the Nets, and then they had to go to three series, all seven games. Do you know how many games that they had where they scored over 100 points in those 25 playoff games?
And probably not a lot. Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Every single game was like just beating each other up hard. Yeah. And think about some of the players they played against.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the players that they had on their own team. And this is exactly what this felt like last night. I mean, I felt like I was watching the 94 Knicks again. That playoffs where it was just coming down to the wire, who's going to make the play, who's going to get the turnover, who's going to hit the big shot. And I have to say, it was, I mean, when the game was over, I was like, I cannot believe that they won that game.
Yeah, I mean, as it was going down to the wire, and of course the Celtics out in the last possession, I'm like, God, how devastating would this be to come all the way back and lose, which is the same feeling that I had in game one, and the fact that they suffocate him on defense. And by the way, you know, Mikal Bridges is going to be the story defensively, but Mitchell Robinson on Jason Tatum to force him into that horrible shot pass, whatever he was thinking there, is something that I think went unnoticed after the game, because, you know, he could have gotten worked in that situation.
That was a great switch, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and it ended up working out. I'm sure Jason Tatum was like, hell, I'll just be able to get right around Mitchell Robinson, and his agility in that situation was great. But the way you mentioned the, you know, in the beginning, it's Karl-Anthony Towns. In the middle, it's Jalen Brunson. At the end, it's Mikal Bridges. And that's the what it's going to take with all this talent on this team to keep this run going.
And not to forget about Mitchell Robinson.
Of course,
Or OG Anunoby. Or,
everybody contributed.
Or Josh Hart, who continues, you know, he and Mikal Bridges played the most minutes last night again. They're just like Energizer bunnies. They just don't stop. So, They got something special going on right now. It's obvious to everybody who's watching this. And on the other side, the Boston Celtics, you know, their best players are basically not playing well at all. I mean, their offensive output is just like,
I mean, Jason Tatum.
Are we watching $500 million worth of players, or what are we watching?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this is a team that obviously was put together and it worked last year. They won a championship, and Jason Tatum is one of the most aesthetically pleasing players to watch in the NBA when he's going right. But, I mean, the amount of missed shots that this guy had. I mean, in the fourth quarter, when he had the ball in his hands, I was happy. I was like, he's going to miss another shot. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And Jaylen Brown got off to a great start. Porzingis still wasn't right. You could tell he had a couple of key plays, but the guy was not himself, which is a major factor in this thing.
But so he had points in this game.
The
only other thing I would say is that every starting player for the Knicks was a minus for this game. Mitchell Robinson was like a plus 18.
Yeah.
Not to go unnoticed either is the substitution pattern that Tom Thibodeau was using at the end of this game to force fouls and taking Mitchell Robinson off the court. You know
when they had a foul to give, kept Mitchell Robinson in when they made that foul. OG comes in for Mitch. Yeah,
those are little things that Tom Thibodeau controls, and things worked out where he could do that, and he did it, and he did it successfully, but. I mean, the shooting problems for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, just hopefully they continue. And then just these hustle plays by the Knicks and the defense by the Knicks and the fact that you held Boston under 100 points, you held them 90 points. I mean, it's mind-boggling in today's NBA that team with those players, you know, are being held to that many points. The only other thing I would say is that the bench for the Knicks was outscored again. Significantly by the bench of the Boston Celtics. But say what you want. I mean, the fact that you can hold the Celtics to 90 points and beat them, that's
yeah, I mean, amazing. And a lot of it is the Knicks defense and how well they played, and a lot of it's the fact that this team just doesn't normally shoot like this. I mean, and it is great to see. I'm glad it's happening now. And there has to be some serious doubt with the Celtics, even with a team that ended up winning a championship last year. The fact that twice in a row in their home building, they blew 20-point leads to this team, and Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges are making the plays at the end of the game, the championship plays at the end of the game, and they're not. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, what Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, all these guys, Derek White are thinking. I mean, they definitely have the championship DNA, the things that we talk about, they got it done. But, I mean, this is a major double punch in the face. And this is not your normal NBA. I mean, like, when you talk about, like, big runs and big leads and things being coughed up and the NBA being a game of runs, sure. But what happened in these two games? On the road against the defending champs, 20-point leads late in the game. And it wasn't even just, like, everybody will talk about the 20-point lead because that was the biggest. But, like, when you're down 16 with 7.5 minutes to go.
Chip away. And you got to hope that the Celtics miss open shots. And again, last night, how many uncontested shots did they miss?
A ton.
I mean, that when I say uncontested, it means there's no Nick within 5 feet of the Celtic player that's shooting. So we always say it, we make fun of it, and we call it a make or miss league. And that's exactly what this is. And the way that Jalen Brunson goes to the hoop late in this game and gets fouls and gets layups and takes control of the game, That's the point guard that every single Knick fan has been praying for. And, you know, like I said, we haven't had one since Walt Frazier that has commanded the game and controlled the game the way he has. And when he needs something, he goes and gets it, man. It is. I mean, you know, it's a great team win, and that's what the Knicks of the 70s were. They were a great team. You know, of course, they had Walt Frazier, and he was the premier player. But, you know, when you think about the collective grouping and Red Holzman, the way, and I hate to do this to younger fans because you guys didn't see this, but that's the way they would win games. They would share the ball. You know, it would be DeBuscher one night. It would be Bradley the next night. It would be Phil Jackson, you know, defending the inbound ball and tipping the ball, and it would end up in Walt Frazier's hands. Willis Reed would make a 25-foot jump shot with two guys on him. I mean, that's exactly what we're looking at here.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is this entire year and even throughout the Pistons series, like, we weren't making comparisons to their great teams of the past with this group. We were talking about how
these two games have been
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is that we hadn't seen that from them until now. I mean, they were a team that looked like they were underachieving, that they were confused on how to play with each other, that they were talented and could beat up the crappy teams in the league, could never gel together against the good teams in the league. And then throughout the Pistons series, they found themselves, and with Jalen Brunson leading the charge as the most clutch player in the league, they have now found this championship look, and now you can talk about them defensively like the 90s Knicks. You could talk about them like the spreading out the offense and who's going to be the hero like the NBA Finals champions of years and years ago. And we didn't do that. We did it with last year's team when we compared them to the 90s Knicks a million times. We were talking about the Rangers and the Knicks and the 94 comparisons and everything that was going on. We hadn't done that the entire year because they didn't deserve that. And now, three unbelievable basketball games in a row. Game 6 in Detroit and game 1 and 2 in Boston. They have not lost a road game in the playoffs, and they come home to the Garden where they have struggled. But
here's what you do. This is what I think Tom Thibodeau, Jim Dolan, Leon Rose need to do. They need to tell all the Knick family members, get the hell out of town. Just let the Knicks worry about just being the Knicks. Don't let them be distracted by all the ticket requests.
Yeah,
everybody needs this. I need this access. I need that access. Get rid of the families. Get them out of town. Whatever it is about them on the road is truly remarkable. Because you know you're there, and there's 19,000 people screaming at you, and you get down by 20 in two games. I can't reiterate just how impressive that is. I mean,
how unlikely this is. I mean, you're talking about a Celtics team that has been dominant for a couple years in a row, had beat the Knicks up every single time they faced each other in the regular season. And then they're cruising in two games at home. They are cruising. Doesn't look like the Knicks can keep up. Looks like they're totally overmatched twice in back-to-back games. And there's a point in game 2 I'm thinking, man, like, I guess this game 1 thing was a fluke, and man, the Celtics are that much better than the Knicks. Nope. Happens again. I mean, this is insane.
That's just our negative New York sports fan take on
things. I mean, when you're down 20, what are you supposed to say? You're supposed to be like, oh, they're going to come back? I mean, in two games in a row, this crap doesn't happen. It never does.
You just hang in there, man. You grind it out, and that's exactly what they did, man. I mean, it was so satisfying. Like, when Kevin Harlan said, all right, good night, everybody. We're going to go to the next game. I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah, I mean,
just so fast they went away from it, you know, and then you got to turn on MSG and you see your boy Wally there. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. It's so satisfying watching. It's not like a really pretty brand of basketball. You don't care.
I mean, we don't care.
Baby.
Yeah, I don't care about how it looks or whatever. And this was, it was, it, we were falling in love with this team for the first time all year. And when the Knicks have turned it around in the last number of years, starting with Tibbs and Julius Randle, like, you love those teams. And Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, you love the grit. Those guys are gone. It just didn't feel right the entire year. And now, with the Pistons series and these two games, now everybody's in love with them. And now you trust them. And now you think that they're capable of anything. And this type of stuff, these big upsets in series, because this is what this is. Like, just because they won these two games, let's not forget how much of an underdog that they were. I saw Sean Grandy, who is the play-by-play voice of the Celtics, his final call, and he goes, and now the New York Knicks, a team that was written off in the middle of the season as a championship contender, as a two games to lead. And he's absolutely right. I mean, everybody, every Knicks fan didn't believe it. Nobody in the NBA believed it because they hadn't earned that respect. They got their asses kicked by every single good team. Jerry was like, this team is, they're a fraud. They're not going to be able to do anything in the playoffs.
It also just goes to show you that it's about the playoffs. It's not about the regular season, obviously.
But generally in the NBA, what happens in the regular season happens in the postseason.
Well, I will say this, that, you know, this game was the Karl-Anthony Towns game early on.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome to see.
And it was Bridges and Brunson in the fourth quarter, but Karl-Anthony Towns had that key put back in the three-point play.
And he got screwed with that third foul. That, to me, was a ridiculous call to put him on a bench.
OG Anunoby was barely scored in this game.
Yeah, but
Mikal Bridges going into the fourth quarter didn't have any points. I mean, this was like so unexpected. And I don't know, it was almost like Mikal Bridges, like a light went off or something. I can't explain it. Like where he just said, man, screw this. I'm going to take over.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where they kept feeding him and feeding him because, you know, three straight possessions he had scored. And then he got hot with those mid-range jumpers that he nails every time. I mean, they don't even touch the rim, just right through. And then he started hitting some threes, and then on the defensive end, he started getting crazy. I mean, the fact that they made another play like that, where Mikal Bridges, you know, blocks what I guess Tatum was trying to pass the ball. I don't even know what the hell he was doing at that point. He's completely
they
screwed.
It a block steal.
Yeah, a block steal. And then it grabs it and throws the ball up in the air again, just like he did in game one. I was looking at the time because there was more time this time than in game one. And Brunson knew it as he was running down and chasing the ball just to make sure that it didn't go out of bounds to give the Celtics at least, you know, a couple tenths of a second. I mean, that guy, as much flack as he has gotten throughout the year for not being the player that everybody thought that the Knicks were getting in critical moments in this series has been lights out.
By the way, he does have championship DNA, just like Carmelo Anthony had championship DNA. And but I'm just saying, like, what I see here is I see a guy that, you know, is a full court player. He plays defense, he plays offense, and the amount of energy that they have to spend on defense, which is why the Knicks wanted both Anunoby and Bridges, was to be able to combat what the Celtics have in Brown and Tatum. This was the answer or the anecdote to those guys, you know, just owning games and taking over games. So you needed wings that were going to be able to play against those types of players. And the defense part of it has shown itself. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it really has shown itself in these, in the last three games, but even in that Detroit series, you know, that was a knockdown, drag out series, and nobody from the Knicks backed down. Nobody.
No. And you saw the stat at the end of the game that they put up that teams that start 2-0 out on the road in the NBA playoffs have won the series 87% of the time.
It's one possession, one quarter, one
just
half.
Just facts
one game.
I'm putting out there, man.
You know, I could also tell you the Knicks don't win at MSG. So get rid of the families and let the boys just hang out together and just keep everybody away from them. And I hope their families don't bother them.
You know, there's two more games. If it goes seven, there's two more games in Boston. So all you need is two more wins. So you don't think they're going to win at the Garden. They got two more opportunities on the road to do it.
As a New York sports fan, this, like, last year's run by the Mets was a really unexpected run.
Yep.
Now, going into the season with all the moves the Knicks had made, we expected a little bit better from them in the regular season, you know. And, of course, Boston and Cleveland had great runs, and OKC had a great run in the regular season. And the Knicks were kind of floundering, but we knew they were going to be at least through the regular season, they were like a second-tier good team. They weren't one of those top three teams by virtue of their record and by virtue of their record against those three teams.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they've kicked it into another gear, and they're lucky that they're catching a cold-shooting Celtics team. Because, again, when you look at the uncontested three-point shots the Celtics are missing, it just doesn't add up. There's something else going on there. And this is two games where it's been 25% or less shooting.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hey, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Yesterday, you know, when we were getting ready to leave here, you were going down to Philadelphia, going to that Influencers Golf Tournament.
The Creator Classic, yes.
Creator Classic, right. Yeah. So you were going to wear your golf shoes, and you're going to bring your golf clubs. And I read on X that there was somebody that actually backed out.
Yeah, so I'll tell you the story. Coming up at about 6:45.
All right.
But indeed, someone did drop out, which is unbelievable that someone got sick, dropped out, and they were looking for somebody else. So did I get a chance to play or not? You'll find out in about 20 minutes. Mm. But Jerry Recco is here to tell us about what happened last night up in Boston. What's up, Jerry?
All right, well, good morning. And this report is presented by Fanatics Sportsbook. We are also brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. And what is going on are your Knicks. They are really going on as they did it again.
It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Has gone up 2-0, and defense again at the end.
And that was Kevin Harlan on TNT.
Outside, baby. Yeah, baby, Jerry, I'm sorry. How about on that last play? So you got Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, and Mikal Bridges all just smothering Jason Tatum.
It was great. It's great to see. I mean, and Mitch, I thought, was going to get worked in that situation. You see how fast Jason Tatum can be in that previous possession where he basically flew in the air.
OG did a hell of a job.
He did, too. All three of them did.
I mean, OG actually just kind of stood in the paint, was holding off his own player that he was going to have. It was Cornette, I think. And then he jumped off of him, and then all of a sudden, all three converged on Tatum.
91-90, the final. Kevin Harlan, TNT with those final seconds. Here was Mikal Bridges. That was a team stop at the end, as you guys are talking about, the three guys converging.
It's a hell of a job with Mitch and OG, you know, guarding pick and roll, and Mitch running him off the line, playing good defense, and then OG even helping him out, and then just trying to react, and, you know, so OG make him take a tough step back and just try to help him try to win a game.
You know who that was? Horford, that OG was on. So he was kind of like, I mean, like, he's in no man's land. He's got him on his back. He's got Horford behind him. He's in the front of the paint. And I think they all know that Tatum wants to take the shot.
Of course.
Instead of giving it up, Tatum wants to take the shot. And all three guys are right there.
5-19 for Tatum, man.
That's brutal. What you call length, G. You got long arms. You got guys that are like 6'8". They all jump. Oh, man, it was just
he
beautiful.
Looked defeated to me. I mean, if you were missing that many shots at home, two games in a row, I think everybody would feel defeated.
Yeah, I know, but for like a superstar, I don't know. He just, I don't want to say he looked checked out, but he looked like the Knicks just, I don't, it just was 21-2 run. They went 8.5 minutes without a basket.
Yeah,
I don't understand is
they kept doing shooting the threes and missing them again. Same thing in game one.
Unbelievable. It's just lazy.
Yeah. I mean, Reggie Miller pointed out, I was like, this is exactly what happened in game one. They're doing it again.
And Porzingis only played 14 minutes.
Correct.
But he actually did. He was, 3-for-5, I think? He was 1-for-1 to three-point line for 8 points.
But that's not what he did for them in the regular season.
That's what I'm saying.
He was healthy. I mean, this is a shell of himself. Yeah.
Here was Josh Hart. We are doing the little things.
Those things are momentum plays. And, you know, they really compound and they inspire your teammates. So, you know, that's something that we all try to do. And, you know, we know when it gets close in the end of a game, you know, it's a one-possession game. We're very comfortable. We got Captain Clutch.
They ended the game. That's Jalen Brunson, of course. They ended the game outscoring Boston 23-6. And even that's not even that much because I felt like they gave Tatum that dunk. Right? I
mean, yeah, down the middle.
It was almost as if, go ahead. You want to do that? Go ahead. I mean, it was weird.
We just want the ball back with a chance to win.
Here was Mitchell Robinson. So I think you guys talked about this already with the way they were intentionally fouling him to get him out of the game.
Yeah.
To put them over the limit. Here was Robinson. He was asked about that. His answer.
Actually, that makes me feel like I'm a threat.
And just so you know, he's saying threat. If you can't hear it, makes me feel like I'm a threat.
Actually, that makes me feel like I'm a threat. You want me out of the game? So, I mean, hey.
Good for him.
Flattered by it?
Huh?
You flattered by it?
I guess.
He was plus 19.
Yeah,
plus
19. And here's Joe Mazzulla that confirmed that indeed was the plan.
So you're good with the decision to foul Mitch there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a plus 19. Is it there? All their starters were in the negative.
Mm. And that did not go so good for them. So how about that? Here was Jalen Brunson. The message up 2-0. This was on TNT.
We're just going to keep fighting. We just got to keep each other in the locker room, focus on each other, focus on us, and just focus on one thing at a time, and we'll focus on game three. And
so you got to get rid of their families right now. They all need to go on vacation somewhere.
Maybe.
Got to focus on ourselves.
They have been so good on the road, it is ridiculous.
It
is. This playoff so far. And Boston now, I believe, if I saw it correctly, the first team in the history of the NBA playoffs to miss 75 threes in 2 games, 2 straight games.
I would hope it's the first time.
75.
And the first time in the playoffs where a team has come back from 20 points down in consecutive games and won.
Yes, and so now I gave Al the stat. 86% of the time when a team wins their first two games on the road in the NBA playoffs, they win the series.
What did Al say to that?
I don't remember. What did you say?
That's pretty cool.
Oh. He was into this, though.
I know. I was going to say, Al, you got to be knee-deep into this now.
Now I am. Two games.
It took an entire season, a playoff series, and now these two games, you're now finally into this.
Correct. But you also know what's going to happen. When they're playing the Pacers in the next round, he's going to say, enough with the Knicks. We need this to end.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that after the Knicks eliminated the Pistons, Al opened up with, why are there tenths of seconds? There's no such thing as a tenth of a second. Why are we doing this?
It's true.
And also, he hasn't actually watched 1 second of live action.
Yeah, but this next game's at 3:30 p.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
If he remembers it's on.
Hey, you want to go? You want to sit on Celebrity Row?
See, I told
Celebrity
you.
Celebrity Row, I would go and sit on, yeah.
You would.
We'll see. It's going to cost you
car service in.
It's going to cost you like $25,000.
Oh, I was going to say more.
I said, you know, man, if I could pull this off, man, just to ruin his Saturday.
Awesome. No. You go car service both ways, yeah. And a nice dinner if he wants in the city after, and then go home.
If he's on Celebrity Row, they're going to put him up on the big board as David Fizdale. Former Knicks coach David Fizdale back in the building. Just sitting courtside.
That's great.
The side-by-side is eerily similar, as we know. So he's very...
There they are.
There it is. That is hilarious.
Now you're a little pale. We'll have to work
thinner.
On that. Yeah, thinner and pale.
But it is very similar.
Yes.
So while Al is fired up with the 3:30 start time on Saturday, others, maybe not so much.
Why are we playing that game at 3:30? That's going to be a Saturday night in New York City.
Well,
it'll be on fire.
Saturday afternoon going to be on fire, too.
It's going to be on fire.
Those, of course, the guys on TNT, and you understand the point there. But outside the Garden last night, the chants were going. They were fired up. Get the point.
Boston.
The good old F word in Boston. So they were having themselves.
And I
a good
get behind
time.
That. I could definitely get behind that.
I understand. So game three Saturday 3:30 at the Garden. Meantime, the Thunder played the Nuggets, and if you tuned in the fourth quarter of this game, you missed the game because this game was over early.
Gilbert Alexander on the out, crossing the timeline straight away. Guarded by Brown, steps away, fires a three of his own. It's online. Got it. Ka-ching, another Thunder money ball. How about 9.5? Gildas Alexander lighting up is yet to miss. He's 5 of 5 with 16 points. Thunder by 30.
Yeah, at 71-41 at that point. This game was never close. They wind up winning 149-106. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 34 points.
149?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they scored 80-something points in the first half. I mean, this was a beatdown. So, and a lot of guys got involved. So 1-1 is that series, as that will shift to Denver. Also tonight, there's one other game tonight. You got the Warriors and the T-Wolves playing game two there. Steph Curry won't play because of the hamstring, which certainly makes sense.
They think he may not play game three or four either.
Well,
it's going to be at least a week.
We don't know that yet, but what we do know is he ain't playing tonight. That we know.
I saw a report.
Okay, I'm not saying you're wrong, but right now they've ruled him out for tonight. That's what we know.
Okay.
So we shall see. All right, we get to the baseball last night at the stadium. While the fans were trying to keep up with the Knicks while watching their Yankees, of course, you had Dylan Cease was throwing a no-hitter at the Yankees until Cody Bellinger homered. And then the game went back and forth. We went to the 10th inning, and the Yankees won this way.
2-2 pitch to Ascara. Game on the line right here. And the pitch. Swung on, hit down the left field line. That's plenty deep. Hayward will make the catch. Walking home is Dominguez, and the Yankees win this game 4-3 and take the series from San Diego. Victory for the Yankees.
Yes, it was, Dave.
Look like it was running to me, Dominguez.
Yesterday was a great day. Yankees won.
Mets won.
Mets won. Knicks won.
Yeah.
I won the New York City Parks Foundation golf tournament with my team.
We won the thing. I didn't know that. I know you played well. I got a text saying that the man was on fire.
Played with Johnny Mack. Yesterday, Johnny McEnroe.
Well, how cool is this?
Had to take it up a notch. You play with a legend, you got to act like it.
Is he any good?
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Really?
Oh, man. Come on. It's Johnny McEnroe. He's got the hands.
Yeah,
he's got that little left-handed draw.
I mean, there's a lot of former professional athletes.
See Charles Barkley play golf?
Right. Jason Kelsey. I mean, it's not like a John lot McEnroe that these guys are going to be great.
This guy's a great athlete.
All right. Is Jimmy Connors a great guy?
I don't know. I have not. Okay. I have no
well, he should be. Great hands. So he's
Johnny McEnroe. He's a great player.
Can Yvonne Lendl play?
Pete Sampras, notoriously terrible golfer. Jim Courier, terrible.
Can Nick Bollettieri play? I have no idea.
I don't know. You just said he's a great athlete with great hands. Come on. He's a great golfer.
He's a tennis player. You saw him on the tennis
court. Okay, so how is Yvonne Lendl? Boris Becker, can he play?
I don't know. But by the way, I was mistaken for Boris Becker in Heidelberg, Germany. Right.
By the
walking
way,
down the streets in Heidelberg. Boris! Wait, hold on.
You don't have orange hair, though.
I'm Phil Sims.
There you go.
Roger Federer is in the gin app, 34 handicap. So
they're not all great.
He's great. Man, you guys are hard.
Well, you jumped down our throat.
I know.
Well, he's a professional athlete. Of course he's going to be great.
Well, it's John McEnroe. Come on, man. That's a legend.
All right. Yeah. And the others weren't?
I mean, they're all legend. I don't know, but I didn't play golf with them. I'm just saying he is legend.
It's like, could Billie Jean King play on an LPGA tour?
Yeah, I don't
know. She's a legend.
I don't know that.
Right.
So I could only go by who I played with.
Anyway, the Yankees won the game in 10.
By the way, we're champs. So that's all I got to say.
Oh, man.
And very nice day over there. Very point. Beautiful.
Awesome. Trent Grisham had the game tonight. Two-run homer. In the eighth, Devin Williams, a scoreless 10th, striking out the side, did pitch himself into a little bit of trouble, but got out of it. So he got the win. And this Max Fried continues to just throw up zeros for the most part. He gave up one run, 8 strikeouts, 7 innings, 5 hit ball, lowers the ERA to 1.05. Yankees are off tonight. They'll play the A's. Remember when the A's owner was all excited about the people in Sacramento get to see Aaron Judge? Well, here it comes. That starts tomorrow night, Yankees and A's.
I know, I'm going to hear about the pitching and complaining from the media covering him.
We got to go outside in the shed.
Oh, for the press conference.
You're going to be pitching complaining. You know that.
Oh, funny. In Arizona, it was the Juan Soto show.
Beaks from the third base side of the mound deals, and Soto swats one the other way toward the corner. Gurriel looks. It is gone. Wow. Soto goes to left field. A line drive that just stayed up. A solo homer the other way. It is now 4-0 Mets.
And that was Keith Rad on Mets Odyssey Radio.
I'm looking at the spray chart going oppo. Well, I'm telling you, man, that's all I think now about is Brandon Tierney telling me that Juan Soto's going to have a great May because of all those stats.
Well, so far, so good.
Yes, he's been right on it.
So far, so good. 2 home runs yesterday, drove in 3 in a 7-1 Mets win as they beat the Diamondbacks and took the series.
That was a barreled-up oppo? Is that what that was?
Yeah, it was, oppo. Spray chart going oppo.
92nd percentile average exit velo, 85% hard hit rate, 95% squared up rate, 92% chase rate, 95% walk rate, 84% K-right rate. That's what I'm talking about.
K-right rate.
The K-right rate, baby. And that's why BT's on it.
All kidding aside, is the K-right rate,
I don't know what
that is. Swinging it only strikes? Is that what that means?
Don't know.
Because the chase rate, we know what that is.
Yeah, it's chasing a bad pitches out of the zone.
Right.
K-right rate? I don't know.
What's that? What's a barrel upright thing?
Well, how many
hit ball?
Well, yeah, I think so. How many times you get fisted or off the end of the bat? That sounded strange. You know what I'm saying?
What? Yeah. What did you just say?
A jam shot.
Oh, a jam shot. You didn't say that.
Fisted.
Yeah.
Oh, fist.
Right. Well, which is why Anthony Volpe moved the barrel of the bat.
Yeah.
Down.
Guy was getting fisted. Because he was getting fisted.
Yes. Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean. Mets will be in Chicago tomorrow. They are 24-14 with the win. Maple Leafs beat Panthers 4-3. What?
Fist rate.
Is there a fist rate? There might be a fist rate. If there's a hard hit rate and a barrel rate, there should be a fisted rate.
Why not, right?
Broken bat rate.
In our neighborhood, there probably is a fist rate.
Okay, the Maple Leafs beat the Panthers 4-3, and the Stars beat the Jets 3-2.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio.
How many times you get fisted?
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. All about the Knicks this morning. Going to get your calls in just a minute or two. 888-808-1019. They're up 2-0 on the Celtics. Incredible, improbable wins up in Boston. Game 3 Saturday. 3:30 at the Garden, but I want to give you a quick update on what happened yesterday. So, you know, everybody was making fun of me for putting the clubs in the car and putting my golf shoes on as I was attending this Creator Classic down at the Philadelphia Cricket Club ahead of the Truist Championship, the PGA event that's happening there. And they had, you know, a bunch of YouTube golf people and creators and, you know, guys who were famous for TikTok or gaming or whatever. So I said, you know, there's a chance. I mean, it's not like going to a baseball game or going to a football game where I put on a uniform and they could call me in. I mean, there's a chance it's a Creator Classic. And not only some of them are really good golfers, some of them aren't, that if someone drops out, I'm there, I could fill in. So lo and behold, I show up and they say, someone dropped out. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, were you listening to the show today? And they go, no, I didn't hear that. I missed that part, but someone dropped out. And we're scrambling.
Are you talking to somebody who is running the event?
Yes.
Wow.
So
you got in.
No, hold on. So I'm sitting here going, oh my God, like this is going to happen. Like, but I don't want to interject myself, you know, and I got the golf shoes on. And
yeah, who are you to interject yourself?
So I'm like, I'm just hoping that they come to the conclusion that I'm there ready to play. And as soon as this is about to come to fruition, another guy runs up frantically, sweating, with his cell phone, and goes, we got Kyle Lowry. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Where was Kyle Lowry?
He was just there, hanging out. So Kyle Lowry, of course, Villanova fame, Philadelphia legend, the Sixers, won a championship with the Raptors. If you don't know Kyle Lowry, you should. So anyway, Kyle Lowry was just there, hanging out at the Truist, because he's a golf fan, and they got word that he was around. They found his agent. They found him, and he got the call. So I got to sit there watching Kyle Lowry warm up on the range when I was this close to being the guy. Had the clubs in the car. Had the golf shoes on. I was this close. If Kyle Lowry wasn't a golf fan and wasn't there, I would have gotten the call. I was next.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
And
that would have been awesome.
So I said to the guys, like, listen, I was like, Kyle Lowry's really not a
influencer.
He's not a creator. He's not an entertainer.
But it is Philadelphia, and he is a legend.
I know, but this is not the Legends Classic. It's the Creators Classic. I was like, is this really on brand for what you guys want to do here?
Oh, they were looking for a celebrity name.
So, yeah, they were.
Well, you're a celebrity name.
And then, so I'm not as much as Kyle Lowry, not even close. But I'm watching him warm up, you know, and I'm getting like, I'm critiquing his swing and everything, you know. A guy goes, oh, I can hit the ball. It's like, oh, it's a little thin. You know, I don't know. It's not really catching the middle of the face, if you're asking me. But yeah, I mean, so everybody had said, you're nuts. I was that
close.
Freaking close. Yes. Some gamer, some like video game kid dropped out because he was sick.
Yeah, of course he did. No, he stayed up all night long playing video games and decided like,
screw this.
You know what? I don't need to show up. But did I make a commitment? Yeah. Do I need to, you know, show up? No, I don't need to show up.
Yeah. So unbelievable. But it was great.
Mom will call up and she'll tell him I'm sick.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But it was a fascinating thing to watch, and so many people were there to see it. So a very cool event. And, you know, maybe next year. You never know.
You never know. Keep talking about it. Maybe you'll talk yourself right into it.
Maybe next year, man. All right. It's all about the Knicks. Feel good Thursday. Knicks basketball. Rob in Queens wants to talk about last night. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Great, man. What's
good
happening,
morning,
Robbie?
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. What's up?
Good. Don't worry about the golf. You're going to get in next year. I promise you.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Thank you. I'm hoping so. What do you got on the Knicks, man?
Listen, man, Boomer's talking about the Knicks are playing tough, gritty, hard-nosed, crawling out of holes. But that's what New York is all about. I'm a hard hat guy. I'm up at 4 in the morning. I'm rising. I'm grinding. And another thing, I don't want him to get rid of the families. I just want him to put him in a bar across the street.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Stop asking for tickets. Stop bothering people. You know, you don't have to go. Nobody has to go pick up the kids at school this week. No. Just leave them alone. Let them play basketball.
And Rob's right. I mean, most of this season, you didn't feel like they were the hard hat guys. You didn't feel like they were the team taking the lunch pail to work. Like, they were just sort of like going through the motions. They were good. They were talented. And they've turned into a completely different team that represents the personality of the city in the playoffs.
And Rob's just like us, man. Get up at 4 o'clock, put your hard hat on, go to work just like we do.
Damn right. Hard hat on. Yeah, I mean, I actually put in 6 hours of construction after this. Downstairs, I work on the building, put on the hard hat, start knocking stuff down, and go home covered in dust.
We battle traffic every day.
Yeah.
That's the way you got to look at it.
Mike in Rockland. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, we're doing good, Mike. What do you got?
Oh, man, I'm so pumped. I barely slept last night. As a lifelong Mets and Knicks fan, it doesn't even seem real that we could go in there and do this two games in a row. Boomer, I wanted to get your thought. What do you think about our secret weapon being extremely rested, going in to go home and close this thing out in our boy Precious?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. You know who else is rested, Mike?
Who's that?
Sam Hauser.
Well,
he's rested too.
Yeah, Sam Hauser.
Oh,
of course.
You think they're missing him?
You know, I don't know. They were up 20 in the game, and I don't know if Sam Hauser would have stopped the bleeding. But I tell you, I don't care because the Knicks are up 2-0.
That's right, and the Knicks are healthy for the most part.
Healthy.
And they're you know, here's the other thing. They are in incredible shape, man. You know, there are sometimes we see like a guy like Luka Doncic. He's fat.
Mikal Bridges might be the most, like...
Run a marathon.
Yeah, today. I'm in awe of his athleticism and energy throughout these games. Like, I thought Josh Hart was, and he is. Like, but Mikal Bridges almost takes it to another level. Guy doesn't even sweat.
Well, that's what I'm pointing out, is that, you know, these guys are in great shape.
It's like looking in the mirror, you know?
Say whatever you want about... Yeah. Say whatever you want about how long they played this year, how many games they played. I mean, this guy... Mikal Bridges wants to play basketball. We always bitch and complain about people in the NBA, players in the NBA, you know, giving that day off, giving that game off.
Yeah, maintenance day.
Load management.
Yep,
maintenance day. Guess what?
Yeah.
The Knicks aren't a load management team.
Well, Jerry's back.
What does he want?
I think he's got another commercial to read.
He does.
Okay. So usually when Jerry walks in, when he's not supposed to be here, I'm thinking breaking news happened.
No, but I was told to get inside because we're going to the break.
All right. Very good. All right. Thank you, Jerry. This is great.
Let's,
this is awesome.